Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Find inflation the old-fashioned way, by spending less money. Check out the HyperX store at Amazon.com to find great Prime Day deals on July 12th and 13th. Stock up on new gaming gear so you'll be equipped for the new launches and content drops. Mark your calendars and set your alarms. Deals like this won't stick around long.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Chat of the Wild is part of the HyperX Podcast Network. To find out more information and other great shows, go to podcast.hyperx.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild.
Guided
in this season.
Sorry there, Jeremy.
It's fine. In this season, we are playing through the legend of Doggo, Paint of the Heavens, a.k.a. Okami. In our last episode, we spun around a nebula, and that opened up a hole in the water, and we got on a dolphin's back, and we jumped into the hole, and now we're looking at a big old castle. Okami, everybody.
Yeah. As long as we don't have to get up on the Hydra's back, I think I'll be okay.
This is the Dragon Palace that we were going down to figure out what is going on with the Water Dragon. When we get in here, we get a cutscene, one of many that we are going to get on this episode. We see a scene that we saw very similar to the Sparrow Palace.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact name of it,
Sasa
but
Sanctuary.
They had the same kind.
Yeah,
the Sasa Sanctuary. Yes, they had a similar kind of thing that at the top of the palace it opens up like a cuckoo clock. But then they have two guards up here that are just like, "Halt! Who goes there?" And Isun just gets in an argument with them, but it's almost like, against everything that Isun was actually saying, it just worked out, or Isun was just like insulting them of just being like, just let us in. He refers to himself as being the king of the city or whatever that we came from.
Yeah. Once they see the white dog there, they don't really care what the cricket's saying. They kind of ignore him. And he doesn't catch that they see Amy and are taken aback by this.
Right. They know like why they're here at Himiko's orders, and so basically they just let them through. Like, again, all the stuff that Isun said just did not matter here at all. Isun is just like yelling and making a scene and cussing out people.
Yeah,
and then everyone else just like moves on without
him. He's doing the "Don't you know who I am?" thing. I don't think he says he's the ruler of Cian City. He says that he's the like the protector of Queen Himiko, who is the ruler of
okay,
the
I read it as him.
But like,
okay.
I am wandering artist and protector of the queen, and I am important. And they're just like, dude, you got the dog. We're good. Yeah, shut up.
Okay. That makes more sense, because I think I misread it as him trying to say, you know, they have these text bubbles sectioned out in certain ways, where like just the phrasing of some things can be a little weird when you go to the next bubble and then you're just like, what did they just say?
And you're also just tired of hearing Isun talk at this point, so you can't just get over what he says.
We get into the Dragon Palace, and it's very bright. We didn't mention, like, we are underwater, and so the whole time we do have these, like, bubbles and this, like, wavy water effect over us the entire time here. In my opinion, it kind of kills the general style of the game that we've had so far. Just the overall movement. I feel like my favorite parts about Okami in terms of its visuals is that you can stop at any time and it still looks like a painting. And I feel like this effect just kind of kills that completely. Okay. It just makes it all kind of like too bright and blurry in a way that I'm not crazy about.
Well, but we won't have to deal with it for very long.
Right. We get into here and there are a couple different paths that we can go down. Half of them are blocked off to us. If you go one way, there's the water dragon garden where the water dragon hangs out, and they were just like, it's too turbulent in there right now. Yeah. No one's allowed in here.
Kind of like that Dragon Roost Island thing of, well, you could go over there, but that's, you know, there's no reason for you to. You could go over here, I guess, but like, there's no reason for you to do that. You should go upstairs and talk to people.
Right. If you go up to the second floor, there is an elevator like immediately that if you go up there, then you'll go and talk to Orihime, but we're not like...
Yeah, I messed around.
There isn't really anything else to do in here. There's two other paths that you can go down. There's a shopkeep, but as far as I can tell, they did not give us any new things there. It's just if you had some stuff to sell, you could sell it there.
Yeah, I got rid of some stuff.
And then there's some people that just give you more like... information about what's going on. Nothing necessarily important, just that, oh, they're so distraught over the fact that the water dragon is acting weird and it's making the waters all dangerous and everything.
Why would they want to talk to a dog? So I don't know, but they do. Why are there underwater scrolls? That one's pretty good. Ethan does stop me with one right there. He's like, this doesn't seem logical.
There is underneath the stairs, there is a cracked wall that you can blow up. I don't know if you guys did that.
I missed that.
It's got one of those little grottos full of faith and a stray bead.
Balls.
So go back there if you can remember.
There is a shrine here with an X on it. So I can just pop back in here anytime I need to.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I guess like before we move on, like getting through this, because we are kind of going to be just pushed through all the story. Was there anything that you guys did, before we went into here, like go and do some collecting, anything like that? Brian, how's your journey to get the Brown Fury going?
I mean, that's a lot of money. I think it's like 2 million or something. I thought it was 200,000. Like I think it's 2 million. It's going to be a while.
I got 300,000 right now, and I did find a donation spring where I put all my money into it, and it says like it's one of those things where like, oh, if you hit a certain amount, you'll get something special. And I was like, okay, I'll put some in, and I kept going, and I'm just like, oh, I'm out of money. That was a lot of money that I just put in this thing, and it's all gone now, so that's cool.
What happened?
Nothing. They took my money. I still only have promises. I have nothing actual tangible from it yet. I'm at the sunk cost fallacy now, where like I am going to put more of my money into there.
I guess so.
I need to live vicariously through you, Brian, in terms of figuring out what the Brown Fury is. You are on Brown Fury duty.
Yeah, I'm on duty.
You're on Brown duty.
Stopped up. So,
BC, what about you? Did you get any cool stuff?
I just went back and caught up on a few things I missed. Did some cat statue stuff. One thing I think is weird. I don't know if you noticed this, but when you physically walk back to the North Coast instead of teleporting there, the guards, you have to talk to the guards again to get through. Which is...
Yep, they don't just open it. It's very annoying.
Okay.
Super silly. There is some optional stuff I did, but we can talk about it after this next story beat. So.
Okay. So we go up the elevator, and we meet Orihime, who I did some research, and like this whole thing with Otohime is from an actual Japanese folk tale. She is the princess of the Dragon Palace. Like, this is all just lifted directly from Japanese folklore. And I also found out, so when I heard the name Otohime, I was like, there is a character in an anime that I know, and I don't know a lot of anime, but I knew this one, where I was like, what character am I thinking of here? I went down a real, not too deep rabbit hole, but just trying to figure this stuff out, and I came across a few things. Turns out the character I'm thinking of wasn't named Otohime, but Orihime from Bleach.
So, oh, gosh.
Yes, that's who I was confusing it with.
Okay.
But I did find out that there is a brand of Japanese flushing toilet sound simulators called Otohime, which in this translation translates to Sound Princess.
Oh.
So there you go.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a character named Mitsumi Otohime in the manga Love Hina, but I didn't know anything about that.
Oh, okay.
Love Hina.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is that an adult one?
It's a harem thing where it's like one dude okay. moves into this house that's just like populated by like single women.
Yeah.
And they're all in
love it's like Tenchi.
Yeah, it's, right? It's like Tenchi Muyo. Yeah, it's that whole like early 2000s harem style would have read when you were like a freshman in high school sort of thing. Showing my
there is
see Pro ZD videos about harem anime.
There is also a character named Otohime in a series called Okami-san and Her Seven Companions. No relation to this, as far as I know. It just so happens that it also has the phrase Okami in it. Anyway, I do have one other thing, but we'll come back to it later because it's sort of a story beat. When we get in here, we talk to Otohime. Basically, Isun does what Isun does and like verbally assaults this new person. And it's just like, give me all the answers.
Except for their rum.
Well, they had to make a point of, identifying a part of their body because it's a woman. But Isun does basically say like, we're here because that water dragon is causing a lot of problems and you have complete control over it. So stop it. And we get a long cut scene, that this is the most annoying thing. It stops four times in this and does the thing that originally when we first were seeing this early in the game, that it said a green triangle will appear over a character if they have more information for you.
Yeah.
And that would have been nice when you're talking to NPCs where you talk to someone and then they're like, oh, actually, if you talk to them more, it could start a mini game. It could start a quest. It could do something like this. This is a mainline story cutscene, and it keeps stopping to have us continue to talk to her. And the first time it does it, the guard asks, "Do you want her to repeat what she said?"
That was weird.
And then you have to.
That was
you
weird. Have,
like
that
I assume
off.
You're supposed to just yeah, you're supposed to say no because in, yeah. then Isun is just like, "No, I don't need to hear it again. I know exactly
crap.
What's going on."
Yeah, like because I said yes, and then I hit start twice, which skips through cutscenes. And then I was standing there again, like, oh, okay, go up and talk to them. I'm like, no. And yeah. And so I was kind of in Neeson's corner at that point. Cause I too was mad about having to watch the cutscene again. I was like, no, we've already heard that. Like, we got to move on. It's weird. Cause it's the first time, but not the last time that this happened.
Because we can't just turn around and then go do what we needed to do. It's not like we got just enough information to move on and are like, would you like to know more? It's just, you have to keep sitting here and being like, are you awake? Are you listening? We got to make sure you're listening.
Just keep talking. The God can hear you. I mean, she even knows, like she drops the slogan, like Amaterasu, mother to us all. And, Like, you know, so she knows what's going on here. Keep talking.
She.
Yeah.
Are you going to say something?
The game does this interesting twist at this point where everybody knows we're Amaterasu at this now. Like, everybody knows. Before, it was this whole thing of,
yeah,
oh, we're God, but nobody really realizes it because they just see a dog. And now everybody's some god of the ocean or great, like, sage or something, and they all just know who we are. They're all expecting us.
Like, oh, the dog is here. This is good.
Yeah. I think the weirdest part about it stopping is that there's nothing to do in between. It's not like it stops and then you go and talk to somebody else, or it stops and then you move to a different room, or some animation happens and the character you're talking to, you know, does something. It's just you talk, stop, talk again, stop, talk again.
I think this has happened before with kind of mainline stuff, but like never this.
It has.
Never this egregious. Like,
no.
There's a lot in here.
But, okay, so I guess we should mention what she's actually telling us. Basically, she explains that the reason that the water dragon is acting the way that it is because when all the evil stuff that we've been chasing down has been happening, when we freed that darkness,
when we killed
out
Orochi,
into the
basically world,
it came for the dragon palace, and the water dragon was trying to fight it off and basically got beat up enough that it was just upset the whole time.
it's just aggro mode. It was
right.
It launched it into berserker mode and it just couldn't come out.
I mean, you got all those cuts on you and then you're stuck swimming through salt water.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it's the worst.
Right. I mean, we've all been there.
But basically that's like what she tells us right here. Is that it is just battle worn and it is angry. We're obviously going to find out that there's more to it than that, but she may only think this. not yet.
Not
yet.
These
but I am guessing she did not do this intentionally to, like, you know, lie to us. I mean, she knows we're God. Right, she knows at this point who we are. She's like, I'm not gonna lie to the sun god, I'm gonna tell him like what's going on.
Is this vaudevillian joke of we're just going to people who are supposed to have the power to do something, and they keep telling us, whoa, you gotta talk to somebody else. I'm just a figurehead.
But while you're here, let me tell you more. She eventually tells us that what we need to get is the dragon orb. We got to get another orb. And in order to do that, we have to get swallowed up by the water dragon.
Well, the reason is because we need the water dragon to break the barrier on Oni Island. But we can't control the water dragon to do so. And so we're stuck at this point. And she's like, well, you know, you could jump into the belly of the water dragon and set free the orb that is inside that gives you the power of the water dragon or something like that. That could be a way around this problem.
Right. Isun's immediately like, you want us to get swallowed up by that thing? And I'm sure, like, we're all just like, again? Like, is it going to be different this time?
He says that, too. He's like, you know, he brings up that we had already been inside something. He's like, there's an emperor, though. This is a dragon.
Yeah. And then again, we get this other prompt where it stops the cutscene, and then we have to do it again where Isun is doing the thing where he's just like, no, we're not going to do this. And then Amy is just like, yes, we will do this. you get a prompt of like, yes or no.
It's another one. Not in what? Every time.
But again, it's like it's another one of those prompts that it's just like, would you like to continue playing Okami? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Otherwise, you will just return this game to Blockbuster right now. So we say yes. We go through all of that. She gives us a pass to then go out to the Water Dragon Gardens.
Take this shell.
Yeah, we go up to there, we show them that, and they're just like, all right, if you want to go in there, I wouldn't.
I have the and water then... dragon conch. I can go fight the water dragon.
We go into here, and again, another thing that's just like, we go through some of these games where I'm like, oh, right, there's a new phobia that I haven't experienced.
Yeah.
And that is this hole that it's like the Sarlacc pit.
Yep.
Where you have
or the space worm from the asteroid.
Or the space worm.
Yeah, because it has a maw like that. Yeah, I guess the Sarlacc pit has a maw too.
Or it also kind of reminded me of the eels in Mario 64 that are in the little holes that come out, and you can just like see them in there. Just all that stuff.
All real warm, fuzzy feelings.
Ugh. There's a few shells around here to open up to. I think there might be a pearl in one of those, or what are they? Yeah, legendary pearls.
You can dig up those
marbles,
clams
whatever.
And stuff, and bust them open.
Did either of you go to the spa before you went to the water dragon pit?
No, because like they said that you couldn't before, and I just assumed it wasn't going to be open for me until you like helped everything.
Does the conch open that too?
Yeah, so after you talk to Odahime, you can go to the spa. And so once you go into the spa, there's another digging video. There's another digging minigame, because I remember what words are. There's another digging minigame that's a little different than the others. So you have to have Super Dig, first of all, to start the game.
Okay.
And there's basically all these Dragonians running around this dried up spa, which doesn't make sense because we're underwater. But
hey, man, you need that
it's
water.
It's dry water.
Yeah. So for this one, it starts where you drop to the bottom and you have to work your way up and then meet up with the person you're escorting and then escort them down.
Oh.
So, you fall all the way to bedrock on the
until the going back down part. That sounded pretty good.
Yeah, you go up and then you come back down, which is an interesting take on the whole, you know, mixing up the digging mini game. It's just terribly executed. It's not fun because the way that you go up, for whatever reason, it's super weird about what height you have to be to go into a space. So there's times where you have to double jump and then dash, and it seems like you can't actually get into that space, but you have to just double jump, then dash, and that brings you just a little bit higher so you can get into that nook or cranny.
Yeah, I have had that problem before where I'm on a timer because the person walking, I've got it to where they're going to be there, right? I need to make sure I get through this spot right here. And there's a gap where it's just impossible to get through.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they mixed it up. It's incredibly infuriating to do. So
I can't wait.
There's that. But the reward is you get an upgrade to your fountain power that that lets you circumvent mermaid coins. So all you have to do is draw like a swirl. I forget what they're called. The thing that's on Poliwrath.
Spiral?
A spiral.
Golden spiral.
Yeah, you just have to draw a spiral, and then that will work like a mermaid coin does. So it's a little bit faster because you don't have to go into the menu, and then you don't have to buy them, which is nice.
Okay.
Cool.
I may go back for that because I'm going to go back and blow that wall up. So, you know.
Yeah. Then you can warp back there after you've... you can warp away from there after you've got the coin. The upgrade. I didn't realize we were going to get further upgrades to our previous brush skills. So I wonder how often that's going to happen, or if this is going to be a one-off where we had a power, we'll do something, and they'll say, oh, hey, this also does this now.
Yeah.
Well, I've already mentioned there was the cook at Cyan City that would let you summon fire whenever, and that's just sort of an advanced. I mean, it is technically it's like it's from the same brush god. I guess that's the thing. It's from the same brush god.
Yeah.
But it is a new technique.
Is that so in like, Cyan City or is that on the beach?
Yes. No. Okay. Cyan City.
Okay.
Anyway, to move forward, we got to go back and jump into the gaping maw of the water dragon.
Num, num, num.
We'll go ahead and gather our courage and do that. And, in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to see what's inside this dragon.
For every episode of No More Whoppers that you listen to, we will send you a 25-cent coupon for participating Kroger's. How many Kroger's are participating? None, but you're still getting the coupon.
And it's like 25 cents in 1985 dollars.
Right, so today that's like...
28 cents.
No More Whoppers. Take that to the bank and smoke it.
On the HyperX Podcast Network and nomorewhoppers.com.
Nowadays, if you have a cool idea for something, the best thing to do with it is to turn it into a podcast. That's what everyone else is doing. HyperX invites you to consider the HyperX DuoCast. The DuoCast has all the essential features an aspiring podcaster would want from a USB mic, with HyperX favorites like Tap to Mute and a vibrant mute indicator. It's compact and elegantly styled, perfect for situations where you want to put your voice inside your computer. Check out the new HyperX DuoCast available at Target.com or shop directly at HyperX.com.
Us. We're the Spirit Hunters, and we're a show that treats Hunter x Hunter and Yu Hakusho's author as the center of the universe. Some weeks we do linguistic analysis. The Chinese meaning of this character is to smelt or refine, but to the changed meaning in Japanese it means to temper. Other times, we get absolutely smashed.
So we take one shot every time. Yusuke uses the ray gun.
1 hour later.
This is the least coherent episode.
Sarah, you... I think you're firing this
haunted. Check us out at the HyperX Podcast Network.
We are back. We are inside the water dragon, inside another creature. This happens a lot to us, apparently. This one, I mean, it's literally straightforward because the water dragon is like an eel, and you just really have one direction to go.
Hey, that's nice.
Just from the mouth to the tail.
It's nice that it has to be linear because the creature itself is.
Yes, that has an excuse there. This place looks gorgeous, man. It's got like compared to the last person we were inside of, this has like these beautiful blue crystals and these like it has these like green plant things, but they look like the what are they called like the alveoli in our lungs.
Yeah,
like, they look kind of like the things in there.
Okay.
There's a lot of these little, we get some movement that we haven't I'm thinking of a previous thing. Cause they have like some of those like water plant things that like move away when you get it. That's not in here though. But yeah, I just thought, like the color palette in this area here, we just run through their shells to collect things.
It looks great. I was really into the art style of the last area, but you're right. It had that filter over it. Whereas here we don't really get that.
No, we can just actually appreciate what they were doing here.
Which you think this would be a very hazy, humid environment, but no, I guess not.
No. This one, it's kind of strange the way it works because it feels like a cavern. You've got these levels where, like, down below there's, like, pools of water. And then you have these like stalagmite sort of things that have plateaus at the top of them with little pools of water in them that you can just platform on. There's shells to collect things,
mm-hmm.
but that's it. We're not doing any puzzles in this. It is just straightforward. There's some demons that we can fight through this. There is one thing at the end,
yeah,
but it's like, I don't know.
We get to the last room is a little area, but, you kind of go off to the side. We'll raise the water level up, and
I wouldn't even call it that. Like it's
the stomach acid, the acid reflux level up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, another stomach acid level. I hate these in games.
We gotta increase the amount of acid reflux in the creature. give them heartburn in order to use that water to dissolve whatever's holding on to the MacGuffin.
Well, we get into this one area and we get a little cutscene where Isun is just like, there's this orb up there. I wonder what that is.
Orb.
That orb inside of this dragon.
Orb.
Anyways, let's go find the dragon orb.
This orb seems like it might be important. Let's keep looking for orbs.
Basically, John,
maybe when we find the other orb, we can do something with this orb.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we have to. Yeah. We have to. The orbs will cancel out. Because Isun's just like, hey, you can't do anything to that orb.
This one, I don't know. Like this area at the end where you have this. This is where stuff got kind of gross because you come to the area where there is like this blockage in one of its, I don't know, holes. I just want to say, like, I don't know. It's just weird to say it. There is just like stomach acid around there. And as someone who has acid reflux, it's just like, I could just like feel it inside of me. Like visualizing these kind of things inside of me kind of creeps me out.
Excellent.
So when I'm here doing this stuff and we're just seeing this like red hot liquid dripping down, and I'm just like, I hate this. I really hate this. This was beautiful. And then we have to stomach acid bend the water, the acid water up to the blockage to dissolve it.
And not once.
And then it just starts.
But multiple times.
Multiple times.
Just to get it to come out.
And then it just starts raining this stomach acid around us. And then we have to, I mean, I don't know. If we swim in it, we get hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you could have enough health that you could probably just swim through it on your own at this point.
Now with the speed at which you move, even if you did have enough health, it wouldn't be worth it.
You would drown in the stomach acid.
But yeah, so ideally you blow yourself around the corner there, which I think that it was their intention. They have their designated camera angles along this one channel.
Yeah, I mean this is
just specifically for you to do
this,
that.
I mean, we've run into this style of room before in these underground parts, and have even flooded one of them and ridden around a corner. This has happened before, so yeah,
yeah. We take this acid to the area where we saw that orb, and then we acid bend it onto that to free this up.
Acid bend.
And then we get the orb. Yeah. And that gives us the dragon orb, and we're just like, all right, cool, let's get out of here. Then we just get blocked by a monster. I guess it kind of makes sense with like what they say going on, but like suddenly everything's fine and they're just like, no, battle time against these foxes. A bunch of light appears around us and all this stuff, and they're just like, what is going on here? And then it turns out that it's just another kind of monster that we have to fight.
Yeah. They say, oh, it's foxfire.
Yeah.
And then
that weird color.
We're fighting a bunch of mythical foxes.
Are we supposed to know what foxfire means?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Brian and I, all right.
I don't know. I know what fox rods are.
I missed that class.
I don't know what foxfire is.
I don't know what foxfire is. I don't know if that was.
What exactly. It's like a broke. Thing. It's like a paranormal thing that exists. Like, I've heard the term foxfire outside of this cutscene. So.
Okay.
But not in this game.
Not in
right.
the game.
Okay.
But
it's
the sort of thing that is probably assumed that you would just have come across elsewhere.
So, sure.
It's like a game wouldn't explain Will-o'-the-Wisp. It would just be like, oh, there's Will-o'-the-Wisp. Like, yeah.
All right. Sure.
You guys know what Will-o'-the-Wisp yeah, sure. are, right?
Yeah, it's the Ori game. I loved it. 10 out of 10.
Ooh, okay. Never mind. Anyway.
So we get a fight. We fought a bunch of foxes. Again, I don't think we need to spend much time on fighting in this game. It's you slash them, you dodge them, you use
yeah, I didn't
you
really,
freeze time or whatever.
I didn't really get anything. I didn't have a breakthrough in this fight. I slowed time down and beat them up and slashed them when they were vulnerable to flash, but this won't be the last time in this episode that I'm just like, yeah, the fight was a fight. I used my physical weapon a whole lot and did not use much of my brush techniques because, okay.
Yeah. When we beat them, we get the fox rods, which when I first saw it, I had some PTSD because I thought it looked like a pan flute Spirit Tracks. Yes.
It's okay. I was very worried. This game. We'll get there. Don't worry. We're going to.
I was like, oh, right. The Switch doesn't have a microphone. I'm safe. All right. We get the fox rods here. This is a thing that, what was her name?
Rao.
This was the stuff that Rao was asking about a while ago.
This was like the first thing we heard about practically when we got into the city area. Like, or not the city itself, but like, this was the new thing after we beat Orochi and got into this area was we need fox rods, man.
Yeah. So we were sent to that sunken ship to find in the first place.
Right.
When we found them out.
Right. We get those and then we get coughed up by the water dragon. And then we get this scene that's just so sad. We just see the water dragon just fall down to the murky abyss of the water. And it's just like they're just like, oh, it's dead.
Like,
oops. We were supposed to use this and we just killed it with its own stomach acid, apparently.
Now what? Like, we got the orb, but no water dragon for it to control.
Right.
And then right when you think the water dragon is going to come back to life.
Yeah, something shoots up.
We see a light. It gets closer to us. And then we get the scene. Well, I thought it was like, okay, we're getting another brush technique. No. This is where we meet King Wada, which I did have to look up that because I was like the Water King Wada. And I was like, was this the English translation, like having some fun with it? And as far as I can tell, there is no King Wada in the Japanese folklore. So I do think that they did change the name of this here.
Odahime, like being the dragon princess, she didn't have a dragon prince or dad or something.
No. So here's the thing. The character seems to be based off of Watasumi, and in the folklore, he is actually the father of Odahime.
Okay.
In this one, they do it where he explains he was her husband.
Right.
So just a slight change in their story.
Okay.
That's fine. But they did change it from Watashima to Wada. And I don't know. The king of the ocean, King Wada. Like, I don't know. I just think that sounds silly to me.
You're not wrong.
He explains that he was the water dragon and that potentially all of the Dragonians have this ability to turn into this kind of creature.
Yeah.
And he activated that power with the dragon orb to become the water dragon and was trying to fight the demons that were coming from Oni Island. And in the process, he lost.
Yeah.
Like a big old loser.
Yeah.
But not before he took on the fox rods.
He did make a point to swallow the fox rods because the fox rods, he explains to us, are a very powerful tool that can be used by the dark one or whatever they call it in here.
I don't think
we have the name yet.
They just say like Dark Lord or Evil Lord or whatever.
The Evil Lord, the big baddie. The series of events is ridiculous because we have this guy who's speaking to us beyond the grave now, and with his last inch of his spirits to partake this to give us this information, and he makes it very clear: protect these fox rods with your life.
I
do not trust anybody.
I ate them in the middle of battle because he was using them, and I was like, "Nom, So he wants these. Don't let him have them.
And yeah, so he goes through all of this. We come out, and the first thing that we see is Rao is here. Yeah. And Rao is to go and talking to us about, like, oh, you're safe. Oh, I so glad to see that you're fine.
Yeah.
And then immediately, Isun gets distracted by Rao. If you don't remember, Rao is the voluptuous character that we have come across. That every time she's in the room, the music changes.
Everybody loses
makes everyone their mind. Uncomfortable.
Everybody lines up outside the shrine to see her.
Yeah.
When we got the box rods, I was like, oh, cool. Rao needed these. Like, cool. We can use this to progress the story. Yada, yada. When I got out and Rao was standing there, I was like, oh, no.
See, it was when Wada was explaining to us what these are used for, that this is the tool of the evil lord. I was like, oh, well, there's also the fact that in the last episode I said defeat evil Rao. But this explanation here also sort of lends to that Rao is not who we think they are.
Yeah.
But Isun immediately is just like, hey, look what we got. And then Rao's like, oh, can I have them? And Isun goes and says, actually, we were told to hold on to these. What do you think, Ami? And then Ami, we don't even get a prompt.
No,
Ami's just like, here you go. Here's a fox rod.
Dog was like,
which is so ridiculous because they've been prompting us for everything so far.
Uh-huh.
It does. So here's the thing. It does get explained. Ami's, now, we don't necessarily know if Ami knew what was going on or if someone smarter than us knew what Ami would do. Ami's a loyal dog to so many people. So you can just say, fetch, drop it, and he'll just drop it and give it to them. we get the fox rods, and then she just runs off, and she says, like, oh, with this, I'll be able to defeat all the strongest demons. Thank you so much. And then she just leaves.
Yay. Yeah, it's just like, if she's already right here, right now, this is bad.
we get told to go check in with Otohime, and we go run up there. And we explain some things about, like, hey, we have the dragon orb. And then she's like, oh, great, we can control the dragon. And we're like, yeah, about that. Dragon's dead.
And the dragon is also your dead husband.
Just so you know.
Turns out, you've been wondering where your husband went. Yeah, he was a dragon.
She was like, I know.
And then we killed him.
They knew. And Isun doesn't even take it gingerly. He just says, oh, is it true that the dragon was your dead husband? Sorry, I mean, your husband's dead.
I mean, husband.
He was a water dragon, right?
Yeah. But let's see. So We go through all this. She explains about, like, you know, this was his duty to protect us, and he died, you know, fighting for us.
Yeah.
And for that, like, we honor him and everything. And she talked about, like, okay, now we have to consider who will be running the Dragon Palace now and all the Dragonians. In the middle of this, the dragon orb that we have starts to, like, glow bright. And they even, like, flat out say, I feel like they just, like, read it out, like, too much, where they're like, oh, is this Wada using his last bit of spirits to tell us something? And we look at the orb, and we see Rao running away from this dark entity with multiple things coming out of it. Looks very familiar with creatures that we fought before.
Because Otohime is like, good, you have the orb. Sorry, yeah, that was my husband. Should have told you. We got all that settled. Okay, great. So what about the instrument that was in his tum-tum?
Oh, yeah,
we gave that to our friend. Like, oh, your friend. I really hope it was your friend.
I really hope they were trustworthy. Okay.
It's like, do you understand the level of evil that is searching for this thing? I hope you gave it to the right person. Like,
well, okay. And then we get the nope, you didn't. from Wada.
Yeah. We see this, and then the game turns where it is just like,
Okay, well, that's
the music.
Right. We see Rao running away, but then like the Dark Lord ambushes Rao, or so maybe Rao turns evil, but I don't know. I don't know.
We'll explain it here in a minute. Yeah. We make it very clear that we need to go find Rao. We know the temple that she's supposed to be at right now. So the game changes the music, and if you try to do anything else at this point, the game is just like, we don't have time. We need to go see Rao.
Mm.
You go running through all this stuff. I tried to make multiple stops. I was like, oh yeah, there was that place where I caught that big marlin. I want to go see that fish shop. And we go to the fish shop, and Ethan's just like, no time for fish shops. I wanted to go to the spa in the Dragon Palace. And they were like, no time. There's no time for spas. So we go and chase after her. We get to that temple, and we do see a we do see the it reminded me of Dompe, Ghost Dompe, like this like floating character that you're just sort of chasing down. She appears at the stairs of the temple over on Ryoshima, and we go and follow her up there, and she keeps appearing in a different spot. We just chase her around. Eventually she walks through some rocks, and then when you get close to it, the rocks just turn into a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a well. There's this cave is like this like dark red. It doesn't look right. And then you just have this like broken down well. And then Isu's like, go ahead, jump in. Just like,
do it.
All right, bud. We go down there. There's a channel underneath the well that we run down. It's fairly long. And then we pop back out into the capital of Cyan City.
The house.
And
in Himiko's house.
Yeah. And we go through here. There's, you know, treasure chests, all that stuff. Needless to say. We go back to where Himiko's like main palace is in
Swing
here.
Through the fire.
The guard that was blocking. Yeah, well, the guard that was blocking the door originally is knocked out.
That's right.
Too.
Yeah.
We get into there, we swim through the fire, all that stuff. Hopefully you still had your fire thing installed.
I don't have anything else, so.
Yeah, I don't know what we would replace it with. I don't even remember how I equipped it in the first place.
We get into here, and we see Himiko's orb on the ground.
Orb.
You know that's a bad sign. She was pondering it too hard.
Yeah.
We get up to her, and Isu's just like, she's dead.
Yeah. Like, she's dead, Tim. She's just dead.
That's it.
We then see Rao in the corner, who's over here saying, like, oh, this monster showed up. It was so scary. I didn't know what to do. And Isun's buying into it.
Yeah.
Amy's not.
Like the cop.
Amy can
he
sniff
is.
It out. Yeah. Wait, Amy or Isun?
Isun.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it just came out of nowhere, officer. Oh, I believe you.
Oh.
White lady.
But Amy goes and jumps at Rao, and Rao does a flip, and when she does that, she shows her evil eye. Because we only ever see like her one eye. She has only one eye showing,
mm-hmm.
and then she has like a beauty mark underneath it and all that stuff or whatever. But that eye turns Terminator red on us. And she basically
she's the T1.
she explains to us how Rao was actually corrupted a while ago. So the vision that we saw of that dark creature was actually before we met Rao.
I think Rao's dead. I think that's the implication, is like Rao's dead and the Dark Lord
just
walking
it's possessed.
Around a corpse.
Well, sure.
Well,
yeah.
Either possessed or dead, whatever. But like pretty much the entire time we've known her?
Yeah, at least kept alive by the evil spirits that's inside of her. But this whole time she had been trying. Yeah, she had been trying to get the fox rods because of the evil spirit inside of her, compelling her to do so, and using us to do that. And she even does the evil mastermind thing of explains her entire plot to us.
Oh yeah,
right, her whole plan. Says everything, where she was just like, oh, I was expecting you to just get eaten by the water dragon and somehow you escaped. But it didn't matter, because I had other plans too.
Then you did this. And then you did this when I thought you would do this. And then you did this when I thought this would happen. Oh, and then there was like, okay, I get it. Yeah, these are each story beat that we've experienced in the last, 10 hours. Okay.
She also starts speaking in tongues. So that was fun.
Tongues are just
I don't know. It's different than the language you've been hearing. So she's speaking in something else. But after all of this, she just explains, like, with the fox rods, it was easy for me to break down the magical wall that Himiko had up with her orb.
Yeah.
She just got through it like it was nothing. Took her out real quick. And then she basically explains, like, okay, this is it for you. I'll end you right now. And turns into her, like, her true form, Rao, evil Rao's true form, which is basically her with a fox mask.
Like,
there's a couple different things with her. Yeah, there's a couple different things with her outfit, but, like, in general, it's just her with a mask on.
Yeah.
She also eats the orb. She says, just to be safe, I'm gonna go ahead and pick this giant orb up, shrink it down, like unhinge my jaw and just drop it in my mouth.
Sort of works for the last guy, so let's see if it works for me.
But again, we get a fight here. I don't know. It was fine. It was not anything. They didn't bring anything really new to this fight, I feel like.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I didn't really. If there was a trick to it, I did not figure it out.
After the battle, we do kind of see the actual form of the evil lord that has been, stalking this whole time. And it's actually a nine-tailed fox.
Yeah.
It is, rather than it being a nine-headed dragon, the heads have turned into the tails of, like, again, this is a very traditional Japanese mythological creature of a tail with many fox with many tails, but they basically explain, like, I've killed the dragon, you have no way to get to Oni Island, I've stopped everything, you can't do anything about it, anyways, peace.
Yeah, if this room were bigger, I'd have messed you up.
Right, they were ready to do a big giant move, but the room they were in, they claim, is just too small. Okay. And they were like, oh, man, if this room wasn't holding me back, man, you would have got it.
You're lucky that your friend the room was here to stop me.
After this, we get another one of those scenes where we just have this, like, gorgeous illustrated slideshow here.
Yeah.
Though, like, one of the first shots is brutal. It is the orb, like, but with a trail of blood behind it.
Yeah.
They even, like, describe it of, like, the blood-caked crystal ball. And it's like, oh, God, the game has not been this gruesome up to this point.
This episode is all dead husbands and dead maidens, to be honest.
and stomach acid.
We also get, like, a huge, like, important chunk of the story done in these paintings, which are cool, but it's a very, like this just takes me back to the PS2 era of stills with text box underneath.
Right. This is like you beat the boss at the end of the game and then you get a long list of texts of, like, and because you did that, this freed this land and everyone was happy and there were fireworks and they were amazing.
Or,
there were really cool fireworks.
Just,
I,
like,
wish you could have been there.
Here's the live action Dragon Ball movie. Here's the Goku guy going, in a goofy pose while the text underneath is like, Grandpa Gohan, why do I have to train with chores to do as well? And yeah. You know, that kind of crap. That's what I think of when I see this. So,
all right. This scene explains that Himiko knew everything that was going to happen.
Yeah.
She knew that Rao would get the fox rods if Rao was under the control of the Dark Lord and all of this stuff, and saw all of this happening and was doing what she needed to do to make sure, like, the evil lord thought it was in control, but was actually still playing into to her plan the whole time.
But in order to like actually know better where the island would show up, she had to like Tron herself into the crystal.
Yeah, that's one way to say it.
And like
yeah.
become one with it. And so like now she can see where it will be next time.
Right. So that is really what killed her, apparently, was when she realized that the water dragon was dead and that was like the only way to get to Oni Island. She had a last resort, and that was to sort of sacrifice herself to put her soul into her orb and be able to see like the things that mortals could not see.
Right.
In this same cutscene, we also see that this orb cracks and breaks and Himiko's dead.
Yeah.
Like, she's actually dead.
Her soul evaporates.
This is it.
Yes.
While it's praying for our safe passage, it evaporates to the heavens.
Like, ooh, but yes, we are told that we need to go to, what is it, Watcher's Reach? It was the place where had to spin that
cape?
Nebula around the Watcher's Cape, something like that. We're told that we need to go there at sunset, and that is when the path will open to Oni Island.
So we have to go there, but probably have to get an orca's back to do it.
No, because you can reach that with the catwalk thing.
Yeah, you can reach that on land.
Well, I mean, you can reach that part on land, but then is the island?
No, I think if I'm going to guess, we're going to get some celestial bridge or something that we'll probably run across on there. Yeah, hopefully.
We'll probably get a cutscene that we have to like click through four times. That'll explain how we get to the island.
Are you sure you want to finish this cutscene?
For the next episode, we're going to get through Oni Island. We're going to make our way onto the island. There's a lot of things to fight, a lot of things to chase down and whatnot. There's even a new brush technique. Get all that. Meet back here, and we'll talk about it on Channel of the Wild.
Guided.